Hi, I'm Austin Seekins.
Hi, I'm Zazania Gadam.
Welcome to Here's Why Beyond the Walls.
Kind of, now, like, let's jump into, like, how you knew it was Jesus.
Yeah.
I knew it was Jesus. Yeah,
How you knew it was God.
Yeah. You're in this time of just trials, tribulation, falling in sinking sand. Mm-hmm. Just like you're at the lowest point you could possibly be.
Lowest.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And like, where did you find Christ and all that?
Yeah.
How you want to put that into?
Yeah. So I feel like I answer quick. And I just want to not do that this time, because there's so many facets to this question. I want to say it was a day. I want to say that on October 15th, 2021. No, it was maybe in October is when it really began, but it was me turning, you know, my head in April, realizing what God had done and realizing that I'm not the same person and I'm not the reason I'm not the same person. So I moved to New York searching, probably. I hadn't, like, found a niche. I think I believed there was a God. I did not believe in Jesus Christ, because the way I saw Jesus Christ was, or the way his name was used, for lack of better words, I thought Christians were homophobic. I thought Christians were, you know, racist. I thought Christians this, Christians that. I think that's what the world says about Christians.
That's what you see in the media too. Like, that's just
it's what is said. And I guess I took a sociology course in school. I made it my personality, as we do. And I think I was more focused on, you know, activism for self than I was on, you know, activism for life and for spirituality. 'Cause if you're really a spiritual activist, there's no other way to go than Jesus. But I wasn't looking for that. I was looking to fulfill myself, not to, you know, hopefully help other people, fully help them in a way that was beyond myself. So I went to New York searching, and it was about a weekend. I had a pretty convicted phone call with my mom, and she kind of sounded desperate on the phone. And I haven't really heard my mom like that. She asked me to get involved in a church. And specifically, you know, a young adult ministry type of environment is what she was, you know, people your age. Because I moved there, I had maybe a couple friends in theater, but there was no God in those conversations. It was all, you know, wheels, 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 wheels. And God knows, the people know me that are listening to this, is like, that guy can talk about wheels for 8 days straight. He can, without sleeping or eating, talk about wheels. And so when my mom talked to me about that, you know, your dad and I think it would be good for you, I guess I was like, fine, okay, you know, it's not going to kill me. So I looked up churches in New York, as you do, I guess. And the one that was closest to me, because I'm like, I'm not traveling an hour just to hear what I've heard my entire life, okay? I know, I'm being very cynical right now. I'm quoting past thoughts, all right? This is not the way I see it now. I'm just trying to be real.
Hey, see that even to this day, if that comforts
cool.
you.
Okay, cool.
Like, so, I always have really to true. Put, sorry, Asin, like, I always have to put Jesus first. If I don't put Jesus first effortfully, I'm the most cynicist in this room. I could say that gladly. And I think that's where, like, we get to put Jesus first. And
really
That's completely true. I mean, you can go to different churches all you want. They all say that. Practically, they say the same thing.
Similar
it's
message.
Like, I hear the same message every single Sunday. When is it going to get different? When are we going to talk about the real stuff? You know, well, just like,
and I can tell you,
so I get it.
It was the fellowship, I think, of the Tabernacle. So, okay, I look up churches in New York. The Tabernacle was closest to me. They had a blue check mark. I was shallow at that point in my life. They have their famous choir. So I'm like, they won Grammys. I'm going there. Okay, yeah, that's there the go. Place. And but I was like, I don't want to go to a service. That was my main thing, because I feel like my main thought was, I don't want to be manipulated by music or by an incredible service, which isn't that annoying to say, like, that I thought of it as going to a service would be manipulated. That was the way I saw it, though. Yeah. Like, because I felt like I had never really, I had led worship at chapel at HSU, but yeah. I mean, Tiffany Stotz will tell you best, just like when her and I saw her this summer, she was like, this is not who I knew before. And that in its God on full yeah. display. And that's just not where I was before. I think it was very, I'm doing this cause I can sing. Mm. That was it. So yeah, I go to, they have this thing called Community Night that now I make, you know, videos promoting. It's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
It was called Community Night, and at the time it was called Movement. Mm. And I mean, what better name than, yeah. than what God was doing in my life, a movement of, just his love and yeah. grace. So I show up and they're like way too nice. Like I am really put off by how nice they are. And they care a lot about like who I am, like, you know, mm-hmm. what I do. I'm like, what is going on right now? They're not talking about themselves.
Yeah.
They're very interested in each other. And Luke Petri is his name, and I hope you guys would get to talk to him one day, because he is such a good friend of mine, and he's our young adult minister. He walks up to me and I immediately didn't like him. He was wearing this trendy like color block polo and these jeans that like were, you know, cuffed at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the trendy shoes, and he had the gold watch, and I'm like, okay, you are Stephen Furtick, you know, just making a beeline for me. I'm just not interested. He comes up and these are the thoughts I had, because I was at such a place of judgment, such a place of, I mean, I went there. Was that not enough, right? So he walks up and he says, "What's your story? Hey man, what's your story?" Okay, I've heard, like, what do you do? I've heard, you know, what's your name? Who have you dated? How this? I've never heard what's your story, because I could tell him what I've made, I could tell him what I've done, but I couldn't tell him that my story was any story worth telling, any story that anyone needs to hear.
Mm.
So I said, "I'm from Texas." And, you know, people kind of chuckle. They're like, "Can you do a Texan accent?" I can do a Texan accent. They're like, "Ah!" And they're, you know, I became the guy from Texas. But I think Luke could see that I was dodging his question.
Mm.
And I think as him and I continued to have interactions throughout the past year and a half, it would be this gradual. So, you know. How are you? How's everything? But I knew he wasn't asking, "How are you? How's everything?" I knew he was asking me, "Where is Jesus in your life? Where is he?" And I could see it in his eyes. I could feel it in the questions. And I would dodge the questions.
Yeah.
And I would find a way to answer it with something quirky, something.
You're very spontaneous. The comedy comes,
yes, exactly.
In there. Like you would deflect the question.
Exactly. And if I make him laugh about something regarding himself, then maybe he'll forget that he had the intentions of talking about
using
Jesus.
Using that coping mechanism
with me.
Get rid of that anger, get rid of that frustration. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So, there was just this, I guess, this feeling that I had at the time that I had to come back. Mm. And I maybe it was guilt of these people asked me to go the next week and they're nice, or like, but I knew at the moment it was some sort of force was guiding me.
Mm.
I didn't know what that force was. Now at the same time, working on this new Wheels story, something like that, and there's a song called Something Unexpected that I started working on last November. And the chorus is, "Something unexpected happened to me today. A force beyond has swept my tears away. Beyond tomorrow, we might not know what's around the bend, but my being here is proof that hope might not end." That's what Jesus is doing in my life. That's what he's done to me. I was crying myself to sleep. I was drinking myself to sleep. I was doing this. I was doing that. And wait. I haven't had a drink since September 9th. Wait, it's been, and then you keep, and you look back, and you're like, wait, I don't curse all the time anymore. Wait, I only cursed that one time when I stubbed my toe 3 weeks ago. Wait, what's going on? And you're like, what is happening? And it's, I don't know, I feel like there's always that idea, and that kind of the story told that I would hear growing up is like, Jesus changed my life on one night. and then I was perfect forever. And like, and I know no one has said that. It's just like this, this hypothetical idea that I had of what it was. And I'm like, I've never had a night that changed me. So maybe I'm just not good enough. Maybe I, maybe God just doesn't want me to, maybe I don't get to sit at that table, you know? Maybe I'm just supposed to figure this out.
Yeah.
And, but you, you try to figure something out on your own. You can only go so far and you're going to fall flat on your face. And boy, I did, because I went to New York for some sort of fulfillment in theater and maybe relationships outside of Jesus. But it's, I got to be honest with you, it's just concrete.
Yeah.
The Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, the Staten Island Ferry, whatever. It's all just a bunch of metal and concrete. And it, and it's not, it doesn't fulfill you. Mm. You go to Times Square, but it's just people, you know, pointing their phones at the sky, mm, pointing their phones at billboards. They don't even, it's, oh, M&M's and Kim Kardashian. Like, and what do you get out of that? M&M's are good, you know. I hear Keeping Up with the Kardashians is better than the original, but like, or no, the Kardashians, but whatever. Let's stop talking about the Kardashians. But like it's not, it still doesn't fulfill you, right? Yeah. It's just drama. It's just, I don't know. It's just the world. So it was just kind of God speaking through things I was saying, but also in me, on, you know, in a time where I didn't realize he was. And I can talk about in a second what that realization moment was. But I feel like you both look like you're about to say something at the same time.
So, yeah, something awesome.
Yeah, that what you were saying, like, I don't drink anymore, I don't curse anymore. Just like these, it just kind of, not all at once, but you notice it just consistently starting to happen. And you're like, that's, what is going on with me? What is happening? Yep. That's the transformation power that just leaves you different. Like, you don't think, once you start to realize what's going on, you don't think anything's going to happen, like you were saying. You don't think, like, I'm going to have this huge transformative event where something just hits me in the face and then I'm all of a sudden I'm different. It's just that gradual change of, like, now I'm, this is what following Christ looks like. My life looks different because of my convictions. Mm. It's like, I didn't think I'd ever be here, essentially. That's beautiful.
Thank you, man.
Kind of three things. Adding to first thing is adding to us and what he was saying. Like, look, Paul tells in Philippians, I think chapter 2 or 4, it's like, work on your salvation. It's like, it's a continuous work of salvation. How do we work on our salvation? Is through listening to the Holy Spirit, through reading the Word of God, be participating in the community and in the things the body of Christ does things. These are how some of the things that allows us to get closer to Jesus more and more, and grow in our faith more and more. That was something kind of like I hear out of your story, is like that continuous work of our salvation. It's like, just because, oh, I know Jesus now and I'm perfect ever. No, it's a continuous work. We get to surrender ourselves every single day. That kind of leads me to my second point, is in your story, I hear like that journey of trying to know Jesus, there was obedience and there is surrendering. Is like when your mom called and is like, hey, Dad and I think we need you to go to church. It's like, you're like, well, I guess we'll try it out. But that was in one way or form, obedience, surrendering to something that you're not willing to do.
Yeah, not at all.
And and that person, Luke, coming and talking to you, and you're like, okay, I feel so awkward. Maybe I need to go a second
you're
time.
You're so trendy.
I think I need to go for the second time. And that you showing up, that's, again, surrendering. Mm. And you, since the summer, seeing God work, slowly move you towards the direction of calling you to be someone God wants you to be.
Mm.
And that is that. That will lead me to my third thing, is like recognition. It's like you are recognizing, oh, there is some external force that is doing something over here that I'm not sure it's just doing it. So kind of that's, I'm glad you recognize that we wanted to talk about something. So I wanted to like highlight those things, that those are crucial aspects for anyone in their faith, in their journey of getting to know God and becoming more like him for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. Indeed. And also just recognizing that, like, in your story when you were at your lowest point and you were trying to fill your life with something that, to fill your life with some sort of meaning, that God-sized hole that you didn't know what you were going to put in there, right? And for you to now be transformed into a way, you now see that in other people standing in Times Square, pointing their phones at the billboards because, like, they're also trying to do the same thing, and you recognize that you're different at this point.
Yeah, and I want to emphasize that I don't think I have a lot of friends who aren't Christian. I think we all have family who isn't Christian. We all have people in our lives, and so in no way do I want to demonize them or alienate them in any way by saying that all of us are bad inherently. I think it's our nature to hurt people. I think it's our nature to make poor decisions. And to mess up. How many days have we gone without nonsense? That's an Office, the Office reference, if you catch my drift. I'm sure we have a lot of Office fans listening. It's great. Zero days without nonsense. No. One day, actually, yeah, because you, this is take two. Keep in mind, literally the podcast itself began as a mistake. And like, that's just our nature. That's how it is in this world. I really, if there are any people who aren't Christian that made it this far, if you are still listening, I think it just needs to be emphasized that in no way am I trying to demonize, where you're at. And I just want to emphasize that I've been there. And if you are feeling like there isn't fulfillment and there's no joy in, you know, sexual impurity and drinking and partying and all those things, if you're really not seeking fulfillment, I'm telling you that there's a lot more that you're missing, and that's why. And there's so much more to life that when you focus on, you won't need those other things to fulfill you. You won't require them. Your body may tell you do, and you may want to go back to those things sometimes, but you know, it's God's faithfulness that's helped me step away and say, no, that doesn't help me, and it doesn't help anyone else. So I gotta be better. So now I want to talk about the realization.
Yeah.
And then I suppose I'll end with application, as we always do.
I got some questions.
I'm sure you do, Austin. I'm sure you do. So realization, I was sitting across from this guy, Pastor Brian. It's Pastor Brian Petrie. Now that's Luke, the young adult minister. This is his dad. And Pastor Brian, he's a counselor at the Tabernacle church. He's a church counselor, but he's also chief of staff. He's a great guy. And we sat down across from each other, gosh, maybe March or April. I don't remember the day. People are always like, it was April. No, you don't know the day. You didn't look at your phone. You didn't know that. So I couldn't tell you the day, but I know that we got lunch sometime in March or April, maybe April. And we sat across from each other, and it was some like Korean place, and he bought me like eggplant. I got to be honest, I'm not an eggplant fan. It had like some weird barbecue sauce on it, but I was eating it to like appease him. Then I think he was like, you know, you don't have to eat it if you don't like
it. Of course,
yeah. I'm like, okay, my bad. But he paid for it, so I was like, I have to eat. Whatever. We're sitting across from each other. That's the point. We're sitting across from each other. He says, what's your testimony? He's asked me my testimony. And I go on for about 45 minutes about a girl. And about my past and about this and about that. And he's like, that's not your testimony. After that 45 minutes, that was what he said. That's not your testimony. And I said, what do you mean? He's like, well, that's everything that happens before a testimony. I'm like, well, what is a testimony? What is he talking about? And he said, let me ask you a question. You feel bad. Yeah, he's like, you feel bad for the way you were, the way you treated people. You feel bad for this. You feel bad for the way your relationship went, for the way this went. And I was like, yeah, I do. And he said, okay, let me ask you this. Have you apologized? And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess in January, February, I was like on apology tour. Are you kidding me? And he was like, okay, so you apologized. Have you repented? I'm like, well, yeah, I've repented. Yeah. And he said, okay, then God doesn't care. And I was like, what? What do you mean God doesn't care? And he said, have you apologized? And I said, yeah. He said, have you repented? I said, yeah. And he said, I don't care. God doesn't care. What's your testimony? When you hear those things, when you hear someone, anyone say anything like, God doesn't care what's your testimony in Contagion. When you hear that, you realize that you are the one dragging yourself in the pit. You are the one reminding yourself of your worst moments, of these failures of the past. You and the enemy are hand in hand in that. But God doesn't make us focus on that. All he asks us to do is focus on his son and live obediently. Yeah. And live away from that sin. Recognize it, acknowledge it, repent it, repent to him. But like, you know, in no way does he remind us daily of how incapable we are. All he does is remind us of how, you know, incapable we are without him.
Yeah.
But with him, nothing is impossible. Genuinely. No, I can't. You know, I don't have superpowers. I guess I would like to. You know, fly like Iron Man. That would be super dope. And like I, you know, I'd like to, I think, like, how cool would it be to, like, I don't know, float. I've thought about that once. I would love to just float to work so I didn't have to go on, you know, three different, you know, trains. But like, God gives us tools to figure out life and to figure out relationships and to figure out the healthiest way to really do anything. So that moment, that was the moment of, wow. And he said, what's your testimony? And I said, when I moved to New York, it was the worst week of my life. So on and so forth. Everything you've heard today is exactly what I told him. Mm. And then I went to Abilene, Texas. And anyone who asked, it's exactly what I told them. And then, you know, Terrence was like, you know, I was going to ask if you, you know, and then going there. And pouring into kids, you're not kids, young adult children. I don't mean to call you all kids. Students, yes, that's better. And getting to, I mean, not just them, but also the leaders, getting to, you know, have a heart to heart with Gress about like him saying like, you know, basically, where have you been? Mm. And I'm like, you know, and halfway into the answer, he's like, I'm just glad you're here now. Mm. And hearing that is... it's God's grace on full display. And I'll talk about a few other people and a few other things in application, I guess, because I'm sure you have. But I am curious to hear your thoughts, both on, specifically, there's a verse that ties into what I'm talking about. It's Proverbs 4:11-12. I will guide you in the way of wisdom, and I will lead you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. I don't know. I know you've been asking me a lot of questions, but I'm curious to hear how you guys think that verse applies, not just to my story, but also how anyone's story can be a story like mine or a story like yours or Austin's.
Yeah. I think the biggest part is us realizing that, oh, I can never be good enough without Jesus. Like, I could come up, like, you, while you were talking, you were saying, like, we can do good things, but we can never be good without Jesus. And having that realization and knowing that in our life, in our journey, that there is someone who is perfect, and that is Jesus. And the character that he holds, the love that he brings and the love that he shows towards his people is something that stands out from everything else in this world. And we know that because of the extent of sacrifice that he has done. And kind of in a bigger picture is like that perfectness in Jesus was the plan that God had for all of us since the beginning to protect us, to save us, and to guide us and lead us in the direction of the righteousness, in the path of righteousness. Basically, as humans, we do not want to walk that path. We do not want that path because that's a difficult path. Like, that's the way that Jesus has shown us. Like Austin read from John 14, and a little further down, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thomas actually asked the question, is like, Jesus, we do not know the way that you're talking about. But he says, like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that that path that Jesus showed us is a path that we don't want to walk, because that's a difficult one. That's the challenging one. That's the path that is difficult. The easiest choices are going back to sin, living in darkness, doing the things that we wish to do, because Scripture again testifies to that. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And everything else that is not in line with the glory of God is basically darkness, basically sin. And we choose to, we want to do things, but again, that goodness that exists in this world is again because of God.
Yeah.
And to summarize, to my personal life, I have to have that constant realization and recognition that God is actively working in my life, and He is providing me the wisdom through phone calls from mom, dad, parents, friends, through sermons, through teachings. And God is giving me this wisdom to know that there is light in this world that God wants to show, and it comes only from Him. And He is protecting us from, like, I could go into this and this would become another hour to hour, like how God protected me from me making those bad choices. And if I would have gone that path, and I would have been terrible, I would have been even more miserable than I already was. And how God knew that was my, and that I couldn't have taken that more. And how He protected me from those things, how He saved me from those things, even me without me realizing that God was evidently present in my life. Through my hardest moments, through my joyful moments, whether or not I acknowledge Him, He was there constantly. All I needed to do is say, turn to Him and say and see what He was doing.
99 sheep, right? Yep. And He goes after the one, and I think of it as eight billion people on earth, and I'm just one guy, just one dude named Jess. There's probably a, actually, there's a lot of white women named Jess. I don't know why that is.
Jessica.
Well, they go by Jess. There's a lot of them. Just look up my name on Facebook. Right? Someone's like, Jess, I tried to find you on Facebook, and I found 100 white women. Like, okay, whatever. No, but like, it's that's what God does. He's His faithfulness isn't just a, it's not just a sermon. It's like, you can, how many people do you know that you can slap in the face and stomp on their foot and spit in their face and punch them and tell them they suck and that they mean nothing and that they, you literally don't even believe in them, and that they that all the work that they've done means nothing in anyone's life, that all the work they've done means nothing, and they're still going to be your friend. Not just your friend, they're going to be your father. They're going to be your brother. They're going to be your shepherd. They're going to be all of these things, even if you deny that they even exist. There's not a friend out there that is like that, that isn't Jesus Christ. There's no such thing. And I guess I never really thought of it like that in college, because I confided and I relied so much on in and on people, that I forgot that people aren't the way, the truth, the life. People are people, and we're going to mess up, and we're going to disappoint. But it's, I don't know. It's, yeah, it's beauty that, that God is that friend, the father, brother, you know, counselor, King of Kings, that that's always there.
It's
amazing.
We're running a little bit short on time, so I'll just keep pretty brief. But before I had that transformation, I came to Christ, I had this very universalist mindset, I guess. Like, anything that you do, as long as it's okay or if it's good, you're being a benefit to other people, then there's no way that you could be led astray or that you can go down a wrong path. Or, you know, I like to think very much in, like, into the future of, like, okay, my salvation doesn't rest on whether or not I believe in Jesus. That's where my mind was, okay? I had this idea that if anybody's doing good, they're doing good. They're going to be fine. But an analogy that really helps me is an analogy of an airport. Okay. You go to an airport and you get on a plane to go to a specific place. What happens if you get on a different plane? Take you somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
And if the destination is to the Father, the only way to get to the Father is to get on the plane of Jesus. So the only path that is the straight and true path that you should go down is one that is centered around Christ. And it wasn't until I realized that I knew that where I was, that path that I was moving on to was actually wicked. And if you go down in Proverbs 4 and you look at verse 19, it says, "The way of the wicked is like the darkest gloom. They don't know what makes them stumble." You don't know what that thing is that's going to lead you away entirely, even if you feel like you're doing something good.
You don't plan it. It just happens. It's a rabbit hole that, yeah.
If you follow Christ, that doesn't happen.
Right.
The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, shining brighter and brighter until midday. You're just getting closer and closer to the Father.
Wow.
And I hate to do this, but to wrap it all up, okay, unless you have something else you want to say. Okay. I wanted to ask you, Jess, just thinking about where you were and where you are now, like, what would you tell your younger self, like, assuming that your younger self would listen to you? Right. Listen to your wisdom that you've gained today, or just what you would say to somebody in a similar position to you at that time. Like, what would you say?
And kind of want to add to that, like, along with the same, it's the same question. Like, what would you want our younger listeners to just hear out of this whole, or what advice you have for them? So I kind of wanted to add to that. Your younger self, and also the listeners.
Start with younger self. Hey, look at me. There's more. There's so much more. And ironically, that was the title of our Camp Generate. And it was true. Because a lot of those kids maybe had grown up in the faith, maybe didn't know what it was like fully to fall away the way that I did, but I got so much out of it as a leader at that camp that, wow, there is so much more. And so I'd tell past me that there's more. I'd also tell him to just get rid of his Finsta. That's a fake Instagram, because it was quirky, but it was taking over your life. I'd also tell him not to ever do that speech presentation that, and my speech she's listening, I know it was really bad. I needed to work on that. I should have done my work. I would have made better grades. There's so many things, right? If I could talk to, but I would say overall, there's more. Jesus loves you. Don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of what that is and what that says. And I might also smack me on the head. I don't know. I feel like I'm very hateful to a younger Jess. Now to our listeners.
And then don't discredit that phrase either. The phrase Jesus loves you, like, just like putting that on an emphasis, you know?
Yeah.
We say it all the time. We like to throw around the L word all the time.
That's true.
Like, Jesus loves you.
Yes. You don't need what you think you need, what you think is going to fulfill you, will not.
Yeah.
And does not.
That's true.
There's not a person on this earth who can provide you the love of Jesus. There is not a food on this earth.
Yeah.
Besides, there's this really great burger.
No.
At Five Guys. I have to say, it's like fantastic. But no. But like, there's nothing that can fulfill you the way Jesus does. Now, and now to a listener, to anyone who is listening, I would just say, keep showing up.
Yeah.
Even in the darkness, even on weeks and days and months where you feel so broken, don't stop praying. Don't stop trusting, because, boy, my eyes get wet. I've learned a lesson, but I don't know if I'd be able to do that again. And so I just encourage you to, you know, make your story, his story.
Yeah.
And invest yourself.
It matters.
It matters, yeah. And invest yourself in his love and his word. And, yeah, don't forget the promise, because the promise is it's the greatest one you'll ever hear. It's better than any promise anyone could ever give you. It's Jesus' love, and it's forever. And there's more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look at me. There's more. Don't forget the promise.
That's a great summation. But I have to say, my 20-minute answer was also... I thought it was pretty good.
Hey.
Hey, it is good.
Yeah, thank you so much. Literally, it's great. Mm-hmm. I say this after every podcast, but like, they just keep getting better and better. You know, keep getting better and better conversations. And wow, this was powerful.
Yeah.
I do have a question for you guys. Here's why. Why do you think Jesus? I don't know. I'm just curious, and I know we're supposed to wrap up right now because you made it sound like. But the here's why of the title, I feel like it's, here's why, because he loves you. Mm-hmm. What is the here's why for you guys? What do you think?
Here's why we do what we do. Or like
yeah, why? Why are we here right now? Why are we talking about Jesus?
Yeah,
honestly. I'm not entirely sure of the why, you know.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure of the how. I know why, because Jesus is the great facilitator, and we're working for Jesus, right? And we want to have that message spread. We want to have the gospel spread and to share that news. That's our why. I think more it's like, I don't know how we really got here. I don't know how I got here, but I'm happy that I'm here, and I'm glad that Jesus has a why I'm here.
Wow.
Yeah. I have a 30-minute answer to that.
Come on.
It's not because I figured that out or anything. It's because I think it's this. I think it's that. I think it's the other thing.
So many answers.
There's like so many things, because God is actively working in everyone's lives. Mm-hmm. And for me, why I'm here is... playing a very small role in what God is calling us to do. It's like, I just want to be that vessel or that instrument that God wants me to be or He chooses me to be in this. I'm not worthy of being that person. I'm not worthy of even talking about His name or bringing His name through my mouth, but He wants me to, so that His glory is proclaimed. And anything that we do is for His glory. And I think that's the biggest part of why I'm here. And I've done so many things in my life that I don't want any of my students, our students, to go through that.
Right.
And I want to help as much as possible. And I want to bring in as many stories as possible to let them know that they're not alone. And that's the worst part. Like, the enemy, when he did that to Eve, he isolated Eve, and he is continuing to do that even to this day. Isolate people thinking that they are alone. While all along the way, no one is alone because Jesus is with them, and we need to let them know.
Wow. Well, I appreciate that answer, both of you. I know I'm not supposed to be the one asking the questions, but I want to just emphasize...
And for a change, it feels good.
I'm trying to... Come on, turn the tables. I want to just say how grateful I am that we could talk about this. I have a few shout-outs, people like Brooklyn or Matt or Lucas or, you know, all of these. My mom, my dad. Like, there's so many people that God has spoken through along the way, and... The last thing I just want to say to our listeners and
Allison also, I just want to include Allison also.
Yes. the last thing is, don't be afraid to invest yourself spiritually in other people. Don't be afraid to, you know, shepherd someone. Don't be afraid if you realize you're being shepherded to let that happen, because you're holding your fellow believers accountable, and it's important to not just have a faith you know, in your room by yourself, but also to be engaged with fellow believers in a community of faith. So I also want to encourage that as well. And That's all I have. I'm done. I swear I'm going to stop talking now. I'm going to stop talking.
Hey, this thank is
you.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. This has been awesome. You can...
I just wanted to say, really appreciate everything that you shared. Your heart is genuine, and wanted to let you know that God is calling you to more things. And like you said, there's so much more, and you do not know until you arrive at that point. And to all our listeners, if you guys feel encouraged to come talk after this listening to this episode, after listening to Jess's story or anything that we shared, feel free to come bug us. Feel free to email asking questions. And we are here to listen to you. And we are here because word of Jesus has done in our lives. And there is nothing that will keep you away from God and will keep you away from Jesus. And his love is pure, genuine, and there is no sin that will... God hates the sin, and but he loves the sinner. And we are all in that sinner category, and we know that Jesus loves us and cares for us, and he protects us. And we have seen that very evidently through Jess's story and through some of the things that we shared from our story. So please feel free to come and share, talk to us. And even if you just want us to be there for you, we would love to do that.
See you next week.
Thank you guys. It was fun.
Love you all. Bye.